This is Moe and McGee on Fantasy.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Moe and McGee on Fantasy. We're hitting all the NFC teams this week, and we've landed in the NFC South, where Kevin's favorite team, the Panthers, reside.
Yeah, the future NFC South champions, you'll find out my opinion on it. But first, who will not be finishing first in the NFC South, and this is, there can't be a bet out there for Falcons to finish above last, but if there is, go put money on it, to finish exactly last, because they are going to be hot garbage.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota had a couple nice plays last year, came in for an injured Derek Carr, I think, a couple times, and, you know, showed that he still has a little bit of talent left. However, I don't trust him at all to distribute. And there really is some nice options on this team. Cordell Patterson should once again be pretty good. Drake London, high pick. Bryan Edwards, we've been kind of waiting for Bryan Edwards in Las Vegas to pop. He didn't really pop there. He has all the skills to do it, but I don't know. There's only two people you're drafting from this team, really. That's Patterson and Kyle Pitts very early.
Yeah. Throwing Drake London there. Or drafting early. Yes. No, I totally agree with that. Kyle Pitts falls into that top three tight end conversation. Won a lot of them. But outside of that, yeah, it's not looking good. Defensively, is there anything better than, or is there anything aside from AJ Terrell on that defense? Because Deion Jones, I expect to be gone. No, this is going to be a really bad defense paired with not many weapons on offense. And it just speaks really bad news for fantasy. Maybe they're trailing a lot, so it might be worth throwing out one of those last rounds picks on Bryan Edwards. But gross.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. This is going to be a bad team. I actually do really like their cornerbacks. AJ Terrell and Casey Hayward should be both really good. So if you're not looking at the Falcons for anything on your offense in fantasy, you might want to look at them. Is your wide receiver facing the Falcons this week? Because they might have a tough time against AJ Terrell, Casey Hayward. You're probably going to be able to run the ball pretty easy on this team. They still have Grady Jarrett, who I think is a really nice player. But you mentioned it, kind of gross everywhere else. Yeah. And let's just move on. Makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, it's not good. Before we move on, the only other thing, I know you were a little high on Tyler Allgeier. Draftable or not?
Well, Kevin, I was hoping to get past the Falcons without giving up my super sleeper of the year. But yeah, I do love Tyler Allgeier. Cordell Patterson has tended to overstay his welcome in most places he's been. What's the damn coach's name now? I just keep seeing his little double chin.
Arthur Smith.
I kept wanting to call him Arthur Blank, but that's the owner. Arthur Smith, yeah. Does he really, like, I think he went to Cordero last season out of necessity. Does he want to do that this year? I have no idea. And Tyler Allgeier was a pretty successful running back in college. I think you can do worse for really late round flyers than taking Allgeier. Is there going to be any rushing workload to speak of? Most games, probably not. So I'm not recommending him as some guy who's going to come in and be a league winner, but someone that you might be able to use in the back end of drafts.
Yeah, I had to make you talk about him. Moving on to the team that'll definitely finish third in the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints. Are the Saints Did the Saints manage to hold on to pretty much everybody again? Yeah, they did. But do I have any confidence in Dennis Allen? No. And I think that's where the Saints tank it a little bit. Carolina will be better. The Bucs will still be great. I don't trust Jameis Winston to be a winning football player. Do I trust him to chuck it a lot to Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, and Jarvis Landry? Yes. So this is a very intriguing team fantasy-wise, but I don't finish them, or I don't foresee them finishing ahead of the Panthers in the NFC South.
Yeah, this is another team very similar to the Vikings where they're kind of relying on some older people on defense. DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, Tyrann Mathieu. Can they stay, you know, being, you know, Pro Bowl level players? I don't know. Michael Thomas is the big mystery box in this year's drafts. The last time we saw him play, he was breaking records, and he was a fantasy superstar. Is he still that player? I don't think anyone has any clue. So his draft, you know, I'm guessing his ADP is going to be just all over the place all summer. I think you take Alvin Kamara in the second round. I don't love Dennis Allen for him specifically. He's not an in-between the tackles runner. He is a player that definitely benefited from Sean Payton's offensive play calling brilliance. And honestly, I don't trust Jameis Winston to chuck it. I think he chucked it because Bruce Arians loves chucking it. I think he was probably going to chuck it if he stayed healthy because Sean Payton likes to chuck it. Is Dennis Allen going to want to chuck it? I have my doubts.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen is going to want to hunker down, run Alvin Kamara, run Mark Ingram. But are those some talented wide receivers that if he has a little bit more optimistic take on the passing game, yeah, those guys can be exciting. You're on the clock, seventh round. You need a wide receiver. Michael Thomas and Adam Thielen are there.
Oh, I hammer Thielen.
You hammer Thielen. What if it's Gabe Davis, Michael Thomas, and Hunter Renfrow?
I think I'm just staying away from Michael Thomas. I think
yeah,
I
am. Shattered ankle, huh?
I think I'd take Renfrow and Gabe Davis over. Once we get to the AFC side and we talk Bills, I'm really high on Gabe Davis. The problem is I think everyone else is probably high on Gabe Davis.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't one of those people. I don't like those people. I don't think I can podcast with you anymore. I'm sorry. See you guys.
You don't like Gabe Davis?
No. Not at wide receiver 31. Ugh.
That's high. That is high.
But yeah, to your point, a lot of people are very high on Gabe Davis, which is what cools his value a lot. Anyway, we'll save that for the AFC East. We're talking NFC South.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of mouths to feed, and I'm having a hard time visualizing them all being fed properly. I mean, Chris Olave, we think is going to be really good, but they just signed Jarvis Landry, who we've seen pretty much demand seven targets. Otherwise, you might be hearing from him. We know Michael Thomas. If you don't feed him, he's going to be a little crybaby about it. So Alvin Kamara is going to get his. Where does that leave Chris Olave? Where does that leave guys like Mark Ingram and Taysom Hill? I don't know.
Yeah, Olave is going basically the 9th, 10th round. Would you take a flyer on Olave there, or are you passing and filling out running back depth?
Yeah, I'm probably filling out somewhere else. I'm really down on the Saints this year. I really am. If they didn't have the Falcons in their division, they'd be very low for me. But
good.
You know, Mike Clay loves them. He has them as he has them projected for the 12th most wins in the NFL. He has them projected at 9.4 wins. So he really likes the defense,
which is somewhat fair, but
yeah,
at a certain point, the defense is going to hit a wall because, as you said before, you're trusting some older guys to do a lot. And because they keep restructuring these contracts, they haven't been able to fill out the depth. So you're a couple injuries away from a hot garbage defense.
Very true. Well, Kevin, I am interested because you haven't listed your Panthers yet. Do you have them going number one or number two? Who's up next?
Up next, finishing second in the NFC South, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No, I'm just kidding. Carolina Panthers. I want to be high on the Panthers. I obviously think they'll do great things, but the Bucs are pretty damn good. Biggest issue for the Panthers last year, lost Christian McCaffrey. Second biggest issue, the offensive line was horrible. But they go out, they get Austin Corbett from the Rams. They get Bradley Bozeman from the Ravens. They draft Ikem Ekwonu from NC State. That is a new look offensive line, and it will be backed by a new quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who has the biggest chip on his shoulder in the NFL and is ready to just beat some fucking faces.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about Baker Mayfield. You know, he's kind of become somewhat of a laughingstock, I feel like. And he was on a Browns team that, while talented, I just maybe they weren't doing the things that he was good at. Stefanski definitely likes a more Kirk Cousins-esque quarterback, probably, where, you know, drop back, you're not improvising a lot, you're sticking to the schedule. And Baker, I feel like Matt Rhule is a good coach for him as far as maybe his play style. The Panthers had actually a lot of leads last year. They were a very crushing team to watch, I'm sure, for you, Kevin, because
it was horrible.
They were mostly competitive in their games. I will tell you right now, ESPN hates the Panthers, has them as the 28th ranked team in the NFL. But if you have Baker play well, Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy. I will really like DJ Moore, and I'm going to be really quiet about this because I don't want people to hear this name, but I might be targeting some Tommy Tremble late in drafts as well.
Yeah, you can probably get Tommy Tremble with the very last pick in your draft. They did go out and sign Ian Thomas to be a blocking tight end, but Tommy Tremble had some touches in the backfield last year, had some of those little underhand catches in the red zone catches off of underhand passes in the red zone. He's a guy that they're going to use creatively, and he is an athletic monster. The issue has always been, can you put it all together? And I think you're at no cost to take a chance and potentially have a really solid tight end.
Yeah. Speaking of really solid, DJ Moore is going to get you 1,000 yards and some touchdowns, 80, 90 catches. I think he's a really safe third round pick for me.
Yeah. DJ Moore's direction is only up because he's always struggled to score touchdowns, but this offense is going to score more touchdowns than last year, and they have to go somewhere. And it's not, teams aren't going to let it be Christian McCaffrey every week. It's going to go to DJ Moore. It's going to go to Tommy Tremble. Will Robbie Anderson make a little bit of a comeback? I don't know if he's even going to be on the team. He said he would retire if they traded for Baker. So I don't know.
Mr. Drops himself single-handedly lost the Vikings game last year. He had like 6 drops.
That is horrible. Oh my God. DJ Moore is solid. Yeah, I think he's about the safest pick that you can have in that range. The question is, who's number two and who's number three? I think Robbie does make a little bit of a resurgence. I think Baker Mayfield can get him the ball a little bit better than Darnold was. But I really like Rashard Higgins as well. Another guy that you can get for absolutely free. Has the Baker connection playing together in Cleveland. He could fill in nicely in the slot.
Yeah, we both really liked Terrace Marshall last year as well. I know, I think I drafted him a couple times just hoping for some upside there. Maybe he was injured a little bit last year, so maybe he kind of can find some footing. And then you enter into the Christian McCaffrey question. We know if Kevin had the number one pick, he's taking McCaffrey. I would not.
If McCaffrey's there at number four, you take him?
Yeah, I do.
What if he's there at three? Are you taking Eckler, Henry above CMC? Or do you have any sense at all?
What's his ADP right now? That'd be an interesting thing.
McCaffrey's is two.
Wow. So Jonathan Taylor is going number one in every draft, most likely.
Every draft that I'm at on, yep.
Yeah, I think probably as far as guys who can finish as the number one overall fantasy player, he's up there. So three or four. I'm not going to take him over Jonathan Taylor, but yeah, probably three, four, maybe two. Who knows?
Not a lot of players that can go out and playing hurt, put up 24 points.
I mean, there were some games last 2 years where he didn't even play half the game and he had 24 points. Just, you know how risk adverse I am, Kevin.
I really hope you land in that spot and I get to see you sweat. That'll be fun. Didn't talk about the defense at all, but it'll be a better defense this year. Grabbed Xavier Woods, J.C. Horn's back. One of the better defensive linemen in Brian Burns, and Derek Brown's done pretty well. It won't be a top defense. You're not probably targeting them, but in a stream week, they're definitely very, very streamable.
Yeah, I disagree with ESPN. I'm a little more on your track where I think this is going to be, ESPN has them projected for 6 wins. I'm more on the 8-9 train with you. All depends on Baker, right? What Baker are we going to see? Can he channel the chip on his shoulder, the stack of chips? Progressive didn't even, he pitched him a moving out commercial and they wouldn't let him do it, Kevin.
I can't believe it. Moving on, NFC North champions.
South.
NFC South champion. Back to the Packers. No. NFC South champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have Tom Brady.
Yep.
And that's kind of where it stops, right? Solid enough offensive line. Interesting enough pieces surrounding him at the skill positions, and then that defense has been really solid the last couple seasons. I don't think there's any doubt that they are the clear favorites to win the South.
Yeah. What happens as far as the switch from Arians to Todd Bowles will be interesting. I think with Tom Brady at quarterback, he's going to be the pseudo offensive play caller. I think most of the offense will just kind of run through him. I don't think the offense is going to change a terrible amount. Todd Bowles would probably like to be a little safer, I'm guessing, than Arians, but doesn't change much.
Yeah, Arians is still in the front office. He's still involved, and they still have Byron left, which I have a tough time seeing too much changing as well.
Yep. Defense, like you said, should be good. I think they upgrade at defensive line with going from Ndamukong Suh to Akeem Hicks, who haunted my nightmares as a Chicago Bear for the last few years. And once again, similar to the Vikings, you're drafting Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, in a even though Godwin coming off an injury does worry you a little bit, but drafting them around the same range, it's about Fournette. You love Fournette. ESPN, yep. Mike Clay loves Fournette. Does it worry you that he came to mandatory minicamp at 260 pounds?
No, because Tom Brady is not going to have that shit. And I think we saw a few shades of the old Leonard Fournette where bad attitude, you know, doesn't give a shit. We saw that in shades last year, but was quickly snapped out of it by Arians and company and Tom Brady. I expect that he'll be ready to go. The bigger concern for me for Leonard Fournette is Rashad White, who they drafted in the third round. He's basically brought in to be a pass catcher. Fournette was kind of the de facto pass catcher after it took 3 years for the Buccaneers to understand that Ronald Jones cannot catch the ball. But they bring in Rashad White, a true pass catcher. I do worry that Leonard Fournette's receiving will fall off, but now he has the first and second downs all to himself, and he'll still be in there on some thirds. He'll get enough touchdowns this year for him to be very safe, top 24 running back. I feel confident he'll be top 12. I'm drafting him as the sixth running back. I'm all over Leonard Fournette.
I know you are, and it's gross. His ADP is 20th right now. Do you feel comfortable drafting him right there, Kevin?
Yeah. Yep, I'd draft him there. I would actually, when I have done mock drafts, my strategy has been to try to wait and see if I can get him coming back around on the third, just knowing that a lot of people aren't as high on Fournette. That ADP is probably a lot of people drafting him in the middle of the second, a lot of people drafting him in the middle of the third. So try to see if he'll come back around the turn at 20. If I need a running back, I will take Leonard Fournette over a lot of those other guys.
Yeah, and let's say you do go Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey in the first round. You can do worse than Mike Evans as a safe play in the second, I think.
Yeah, Mike Evans will be safe. 1,000 yards pretty much every season he's been in the league. I think he just missed one season. And then, you know, they got to score touchdowns. They won't all go to Fournette. He'll get some more this year than
10 to 12. Yeah.
Yeah. He's super safe. Godwin and Russell Gage are, I think, the two most intriguing players here. How are you higher on one than the other, knowing that Chris Godwin might miss a good chunk of the season and that Godwin's also being drafted significantly higher?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that third receiver plays out because, I mean, you start listing the names who got some opportunity after Godwin went down, and, you know, they added Gage and Perriman, but we saw Cyril Grayson, we saw Scotty Miller, we saw Tyler Johnson. Is that kind of going to be a musical chairs situation, or is Russell Gage going to take hold and be a nice player? That's kind of a wait and see and spend some fab later, probably for me. And Chris Godwin too, you know, depending on where he's going, which is wide receiver 26, we'll play your little game, Kevin. Godwin or Amari Cooper?
Oh, soft tissue guy. Oh, I'm going Chris Godwin.
Godwin or Tyler Lockett?
Probably Tyler Lockett.
Godwin or Cortland Sutton?
Cortland Sutton. These are all wide receivers that I am much lower on than everybody else. I'm finding. This is kind of the wide receiver range that I'm trying to avoid and draft running backs in that spot as well. Or even tight end. At that point, if you can still get a top three tight end all day.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a... kind of like a top 16 of wide receivers. It kind of ends there with like Deontay Johnson and Michael Pittman, where you're feeling like, okay, all these guys can theoretically be wide receiver ones at the end of the season. Obviously, you have like your Cup, Jefferson, Chase, Adams, who are on kind of a different tier. But then the rest of these guys all slot in as, you know, kind of safe wide receiver one, wide receiver high end wide receiver two. Chris Godwin could jump into that. We've seen him play that well, but the injury coming back from it mid-season does worry me slightly.
Yeah, that's my biggest pause is he going to come back? At what point is he going to come back? And will he be healthy enough to be the old Chris Godwin? I'm not sure. For that reason, I like Russell Gage. He'll get, I think, the first stab while Godwin's out at that next batch of wide receivers. So I'd rather draft Russell Gage in the eighth than Chris Godwin in the fifth.
Last thing here, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, no Gronk. They brought in Kyle Rudolph, Cameron Brate still on the team. Is Cameron Brate a flyer tight end guy in the last few rounds?
Not for me. I do like Cade Otton, who they drafted. They also clearly wanted more tight end options by bringing in Kyle Rudolph. For me, Cameron Brate, if somebody else wants to take the draft pick and take the flyer on Cameron Brate, that's fine. But I want to see week one what that tight end room looks like.
Yep. That's why you get fab money, right, Kevin?
And so you can spend it all in week one.
There you go. Well, that's the NFC South. Anything else, Kevin? Go Panthers.
Go Panthers. I think they're a playoff team this year. Put it down. Write that down.
Oh, all right. Well, that's been
It's going to be a real nice write that down bet between the Panthers and Vikings. I think that's going to be a nice one. We'll have to write that down at some point.
We'll write that down, Kevin. And we'll also write down, we are signing off next week, our final NFC podcast, stopping in the NFC West, going to the West Coast.
See you.